My name is Mike Shepherd. I'm a producer. I want to get to know the artists in my new community. This is 1,000 Meals with 1,000 Artists.
Hi, my name is Tan Pekka, and I am a theater performer and creator.
I had a lovely conversation with Taya, who's a local theater artist and actor, young and kind of at the beginning really of her journey through the arts, but still quite experienced for someone at a young age. She's in high school, but has this really awesome opportunity to work with an organization called 100 Watt Productions, which seems to be a project connected to the Great Canadian Theatre Company in various capacities. Christina Watt is the artistic leader of 100 Watt Productions, and they put on really interesting collective creative theatre pieces. The way that Taya explained it was they get together, they start with conversations and research, and then just like you do in the collective creation process, you develop a script together. So it's all youth-run. It's youth being guided by other youth, with obviously Christina Watt being there as the facilitator and artistic leader, which is exactly how collective creation pieces are put together at all levels of theater. I was really surprised to hear that not only is this like a cool just after school theater project, it's also a paid opportunity. You don't see that a lot for younger artists. And I get why. I understand that. I understand the financial drain and the resources that are required to put on this kind of production. But it's really great to see an artist like Christina Watt put in the time and effort and energy to build this youth ensemble. And talking to Taya was really interesting to just hear a little bit about that in the process, I should say, that process that went into it. And she had great insights as to how they sort of build this and what the rehearsal process is like. Not too dissimilar to other processes that I'm aware of, but it's really nice to see that blend of the professional with kind of a more community schedule that then builds and increases over time. We had a really great conversation. It was really great to just kind of chat about theater with someone from the theater world. I mentioned in the podcast, and I think I've said in previous episodes, being new to Ottawa, I'm still kind of getting my feet wet in the theater community a bit. I'm getting to know all the various theater artists. I'm starting to learn the company names at all levels, whether it be professional, community, pre-professional, transitioning artists, whatever you want to call them. And I feel like that is where I really got the most out of this conversation, was just to get those insights. Someone who's auditioned for a few shows, did stuff more in our school community, and now has this really unique, interesting opportunity that I haven't seen in a lot of other communities. We enjoyed some MoMAs at the MoMA spot. I had the deep fried chicken. Is deep fried the healthiest way to have that meal? No. Did I do it anyway? Yep. It was really great. It was a great meal, really great atmosphere. And again, as the artists get to select the locations, I'm getting a nice sense of a variety of different kinds of restaurants throughout Ottawa, which is nice to see as well. Taya and I really chatted a lot about her role in 100 Watt Productions. This is coming up like really soon. They open just in a couple of weeks. I believe it's in and around May 1st with their production of Stuff. So you definitely should check that out. 100 Watt has their own website. That's just 100watt.org. You can go there, take a look at everything that they're doing, what they're creating. It's really nice to see that they are developing these connections with young artists and developing these opportunities for them to not only create on their own, but they're also having this really good opportunity of learning from a professional, getting some instruction, getting some coaching. One of the things that Taya and I did discuss that did not end up staying in what you'll hear, some of the other conversations we were having, was about balancing and how difficult it is at a young age to know, is theater or the arts or any career you can put in, nursing or becoming a doctor or becoming a police officer or becoming an engineer or going into statistics and mathematics. It's hard to know at like 15, 16, 17 when you're forced to make these decisions what you want to do for the rest of your life. So it's really great to be able to have that opportunity to offer a young artist a paid role in some sort of production so they can get some compensation for their time instead of having an after-school job. They can do something like this. And then they can see after a year or 2 years or maybe even all 4 years they're in high school and two to four years when they're at college and university. Is this right for me? And I think that's just so important, so difficult to know at that young age what's right for me. So I really envy her and the opportunity that she has, but also the others who participate in this. They've got university students, they've got high school students. It's kind of a wide mix. You can really do this for a couple years and say, okay, do I want to do this for the rest of my life or do I not? And even Taya admits not knowing where things are going to go next, but that theater will always in one way or another become a part of her life, whether that be as a professional paid, this is my career, or as a hobby, which, you know, I've met lots of people here in Ottawa who participate in arts as a hobby and they absolutely love it and don't regret it. And I've met lots who do it as their job and are paid every day. Is there really a difference between the two? Not in my mind. And I'm hoping 1,000 meals with 1,000 artists will help sort of showcase that point. Without further ado, my conversation with Taya over some really delicious momos and this crazy, crazy French fry thing that I only had one or two of. I had to definitely control myself over those French fries, but very great spot and a lovely conversation.
I know I've always loved theater.
Yeah.
Just, you know, watching it and being a part of it in any way I can, but I was never fully like just seeing it as a career option because of the nuances of it.
Sure.
But then I first got introduced to sort of that, like the ability to be a part of that when I was sent an audition by my high school teacher.
Okay.
I'm in the drama program at Canterbury.
Okay.
And
Canterbury,
so they
okay.
regularly send us opportunities, which I love.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of that, I was able to apply to a position at 100 Watt Productions at the Great Canadian Theatre Company.
Yeah.
And that's just when it started, and I've been with 100 Watt Productions since.
Okay, cool. And so, tell me about that company. What do they do?
So 100 Watt Productions is run by the director and producer Christina Watt.
Okay.
And she regularly makes along with the 100 Watt Youth Ensemble. Plays about the climate crisis and environmental issues.
Oh, okay. So yeah. They produce work that is specific to climate and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Really? At least in the past few years.
Okay. And it's like one show a year? Is it multiple?
It's generally been one show a year.
Okay.
And this year is the first time in a while they're doing like a new show.
Yeah.
Before, they were working on a show called 12, and that went on for, I believe, 4 years. So it's constantly like evolving, which is one thing I really love about this company is they change it based off of audience perspective.
Interesting.
So it gets updated every single year, but this year they transitioned to a new show called Stuff, and it's slightly different. It's
Stuff.
Yeah.
I like that name.
It's more dystopian than 12 was, which I'm really enjoying right now.
Okay. Is it like a young company? Because you're saying, so like you're younger, you're in high school.
Yeah.
It's like everyone of the same age? Is it a mix of age? Like, is it?
Well, it's all youth.
Oh, it's all youth.
So,
okay.
Like, youth is sort of anywhere between 13 to like university, late.
Okay. Okay. So it's a bit of a wider range.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And then, of course, the director is older.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's I'm not from the area, so I'm not familiar with all the companies. So that's interesting. So you've only been doing that though for a year, you said.
Yeah. So okay. I joined in January as a swing understudy.
Yeah.
And then this year I am now playing archivist in stuff.
That's very cool.
That's interesting that that kind of opportunity exists.
Yes.
For younger performers.
I didn't know really it cool. existed.
Okay, you didn't know before you did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is very much so a rare opportunity.
Yeah.
It's kind of unheard of that you get the opportunity to become a part of a professional production.
Yeah, that doesn't happen everywhere. Yeah,
So I'm really grateful to...
And you said it was your high school teacher who, like, was the one who heard about the opportunity to pass school on to you? Okay. That's really cool. It's good to have teachers looking out to, like, give those opportunities.
Yeah,
I haven't heard about that kind of thing in too many places. Like, I'm sure it does exist. But,
I'm sure, yeah.
But I don't hear about it a lot either, which is really, really cool. And that's all run out of, in terms of, like, space-wise, you at the Great Canadian Theatre Company? Is everything there?
Yeah, so... We're artists in residence at the Great Canadian Theatre Company, and we do most of our rehearsals and our shows there.
Yeah, that makes total sense. That's very cool. Okay. Okay, and then before that, community theater was your hobby, your passion, the thing you did.
Yeah. I started the drama club at my elementary/middle school.
Yeah.
After I sort of did a program at a church somewhere and I got into it. So I was just doing like sort of casual stuff like that, like, you know, Beauty and the Beast. And stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
But this is the like first sort of opportunity I've had to be a part of something that's sort of not that sort of realm.
Yeah, like branching out a bit.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because at a young age, you don't often get those opportunities to kind of do both. Where you can do your community stuff and then you can get an opportunity at the professional. Like, did you find like you learned a lot doing like both the professional experience and the amateur? Like, are you finding you've learned a lot in both scenarios? Or?
Yeah, I think it's very different. I feel like I learned very different things. In like community theater gave me the opportunity to sort of first discover that and have it be in a way less with way less expectations in that sort of department. I was able to sort of explore more what I wanted to do where it was there was less expectations, but now with like a professional production, of course there's deadlines to meet, there's way more expectations when it comes to memorizing and and it's way more intense in that sense, but then it taught me a lot of discipline and a lot of
I'm not surprised to hear that because I feel like it is they're of the same ilk, they're of the same sort of type of thing. But they are very different.
Yeah.
And the way you're describing it is really interesting. You said there's a lot of like differences. So deadlines being one of them. What are some of the other things you've like learned in one but not the other? If that makes sense. Like, what are some of the other things you've found that are differences between the two worlds? Because I feel like you have a very unique perspective. Because a lot of professional theater actors now, I don't think they remember what it was like to do community. You know what I mean?
Right.
And community. Some community people have never done it. So you kind of have that toe in both worlds.
Mm. Well, this is just my personal experience.
That's fine.
But I found in community theater, there was a lot less emphasis on working as one. Mm. And like, because this is an ensemble production. Mm. And I found one thing I disliked about community theater was the competition aspect. It really felt, at some points, like draining to feel like you're being compared to other people in that sort of sense. Even when there wasn't any high stakes to it. And so I learned how to navigate those relationships in community theater, but then in professional theater, working with an ensemble, I learned sort of the proper in quotation marks, of course, mindset of like how we can grow together and how an ensemble can function and hold each other up and lift each other up.
Yeah.
And so that's what I really enjoy about professional.
It is really fascinating to see that differences because definitely I think there's a lot of differences between the two.
Yeah.
But I find before I go on, I'm really curious about the type of schedule you keep with that type of professional production. Like, obviously, if you're going to school, it's like after school, but like, what are the hours? Like, how many times do you rehearse a week? What does that look like?
So, we start rehearsals way earlier than most usual professional theater productions because of the fact that we have to work around school.
You have less.
And so, we'll start in like September for a production in May, and we'll just do like once a week in September and then slowly. I think it was in February we started going to two rehearsals a week, and now we're going into like three rehearsals, so Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. and then four rehearsals Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. And then for tech, of course, it's going to be the entire week.
Yeah. So okay.
It's mainly one rehearsal and then gradually.
So it builds up over time. Yeah, which makes sense. So it's almost scheduled similarly to community theater where you have several months, but you ramp up your schedule, like you're saying, and obviously because it's professional, it's a little different. So it's this odd hybrid, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Like that's a really smart way to do it because obviously you can't be at rehearsal from 10 to 6, 6 days a week, right? Yeah. Like that's not feasible. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool to have that in Ottawa.
I'm over the moon about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really exciting. Yeah. They didn't have that kind of stuff when I was growing up. But again, I wasn't super involved and interested in theater until later. But yeah, they never really had anything quite like that. That's really cool. So in terms of community theater, like you mentioned, so you did stuff like church group and you just have a school and like all these like different things. Like what did you end up doing community theater with different community theater companies in Ottawa? Like do you have that kind of that side of it as well?
Or? I did a few auditions. I did one show with Lakeside Players,
okay,
which was enjoyable. But no, it was mainly with my school.
Yeah.
I did an audition for Suzart, but at the time I had some throat issues going on, so didn't make it, but I was interested in that, and then I was able to get this role. So I never really was involved too much in sort of community theater companies.
And what the stuff you're doing now, like, is that like a play? Is it a musical?
It's a play.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because, a lot of community theater companies do musicals, like a lot. So if that's something people are interested in is one thing. But you don't often get an opportunity to do plays.
Yeah.
Not some community theaters do plays, but not
Yeah, it is mainly focused on musical theater.
Yeah, yeah. I'm learning a little bit more about the theater community, being not from here, and I'm starting to learn the companies and figure out kind of what the scene is like. So yeah, that is interesting. So you've done a few auditions, but mainly through school you gain this interest. Now you have this really cool opportunity. Mm-hmm. So what do you think it looks like for you moving forward? Like how long do you think you would do this company? Would you, obviously you have right now an interest. Are you going to continue to pursue theater? What's your kind of look?
I would love to. I am really trying to balance academics along with, because I have passion for both sciences and theater and humanities. Mm-hmm. And that's why this production is such a great ensemble of both, because it talks about environmental issues. I got the opportunity to research and add to the script and help create the script to talk about sort of things that are involved with science.
Things that you're passionate about.
And I'm passionate about a lot of different things, meaning that the future kind of looks a little bit uncertain to me in that realm because I don't know what avenue to go down yet.
Sure.
But I know no matter what, regardless of if it's professional or not, theater will always be a part of my life.
Well, and you've got time.
You've got time
to figure it out. But no, that's interesting that you have an interest in science and humanities, these other areas. And you're right, that's such a great crossover of everything, right? Like this production ends up kind of fulfilling all of those needs, which is really, really cool. Like that's really interesting. And that's good to have that attitude of no matter what, you're going to stick with it in one way or another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's full time or just a hobby.
Yeah. So what is your I'm trying to ascertain where your interest came from. You said you did stuff in school and you started a drama program, stuff like that. But people don't just do that usually. There's some kind of an interest. Were you taken to plays a lot when you were younger? Did you like to go to theater? Did you fall in love with it because of a certain thing?
To be honest, not really.
It was always there.
I don't know. Okay, I just sort of, when I was really young, my mom constantly told me stories of how when I was younger, I would always put on productions with I'd just get dressed up in my mom's old figure skating costumes and just go around reenacting the Titanic. So I think it's just always been a part of me.
The Titanic, that's very specific.
Oh yeah, the Titanic. I was obsessed with Titanic books, choose your own story. What?
Choose your own Titanic?
Yes.
I've never heard of those. Yeah. I've heard of Choose Your Own Adventure, but I didn't know there was a Titanic.
No, there was Choose Your Own Titanic version. Should I have been reading that at second grade? Maybe not. But
questionable, yeah.
I was very much so into that sort of thing.
Really, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that for Titanic. Okay, so obviously it was just a big part of who you were, right? You were someone who just obviously loved to tell stories. You were in the theater from the beginning. Very cool. That's really interesting. Yeah, sometimes people have that moment, that thing that got them into it, but it's interesting that it's just always part of your life. So what do you, like, what is it about theater that you like? Like, what's the draw to me? Because, again, you're saying a lot of things that, like, make sense to me. We're like, oh, you're going to spend all this time and energy. You're going to go to after, and, you know, you're going to balance academia and this. Not a lot of people want to do that, though. Like, that's, it's very tough.
Yeah.
Like, it is. So what is it that, like, is such so appealing for you?
I feel like theater is so appealing because it's the ability to tell a story that you find meaningful in a way that goes against what is normally, like, described. I feel like with theater, like, looking at both academic worlds and then theater worlds, which is what I'm both a part of, there's a big difference that I feel like doesn't need to be there. Theater has always been, like, about passion, and I feel like it really gets people more interested in the subjects you speak about, and I feel like it's a really great way to talk to people about issues that you care about.
Right.
And so, looking from a science perspective, or from, you know, climate crisis perspective, I find that theater is so great to be, is such a great tool in that sense, because it's a way, it's a type of media, it's a way to spread the word.
Yeah.
In a way that's still artistic and still vibrant.
Yeah, the arts can change the world. We've seen it happen in history for a long time. That's the power it has.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
And so I feel like that's why I've always been... Like, it's just a way to tell a story that... I don't know. It just feels so beautiful.
That makes total sense. I mean, I think there's a lot of different reasons why people find their passion in theater, find the drive to do it. And what you're describing makes sense, because if your interest is, well, I'm really interested in humanity, I'm really interested in climate, I'm really interested in science, I want to share that, I want to pass knowledge, I want to make change, the arts are a really good way to do it. Like, they can really be a lens for things.
Very much so as interconnected.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, very interesting. So has that always been then the lens for you? Like, when you're younger, I would imagine those things might matter a little less.
Yeah.
And were you someone interested in musicals, interested in plays? I mean, was it always creating your own stuff? Or were you, like, also just someone who liked to immerse yourself?
I feel like I enjoyed more creating my own stuff, okay. But I was also very interested in, you know, being a part of things. Like, obviously, starting the drama club at my school, we weren't creating plays. We were doing Beauty and the Beast. We were doing
things that are
Harry Potter.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And I found that really also very fun, but not for any particular deep meaning. It was just like, wow, I get to be on stage. I get to sing and act and dance. And,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was any thought behind it. It was just...
At that age, it's the love of doing it. Yeah. But that makes sense. So you created a lot more in your past, which makes sense. And you, someone who has stories you want to tell or things that are important to you. So, and this piece of theater that you work on, so the climate aspect of it, is that you said you're building it as an ensemble. Is it what you would call collective creation, where you're all creating the play together, or is there a pre-written script?
100%. It is collective creation. Okay. So, my understanding of the process is, we are all there as a youth ensemble with our director, Christina Watt, and we all together, like, this whole play emerged because of a conversation that happened, like, 3 years ago.
Really?
And it was sort of born out of just talking about it. And then that sort of evolved into, wait, this can be something that people would want to see. And so then just the act of conversing was what first drove this production. And then it sort of just came off. And that's when early rehearsals, early creation, was just do some research about plastic and tell me your thoughts. And just talking about, like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that there are now, like, six giant Great Pacific garbage patches that exist. And it's just us talking about it, and then that evolves into a script. Christina takes everything that we give her and everything that she gives us and puts it all together and makes it into something, and then we keep editing it as we go. And so that's sort of like the September process. And again, as I said before, these types of plays it's all about evolution.
Yeah.
So this is just the premiere
right.
of this show, but it's going to keep going. We're going to keep adjusting
okay.
it.
It's going to grow over
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it's going to
okay.
grow over time. Okay. But yes, it yeah. is us all creating it together.
Okay, yeah. And that makes sense. The way you're describing it is very much the way I understand collective creation as well. Someone is going to guide you, but everyone's going to contribute and develop it.
Yeah.
It is interesting that it's going to keep going, though. Like you say, you're gonna premiere it, but then there's going to be this growth over time. Like that's
yes,
that's an interesting 100%. Aspect of it.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And that's something. So this is you said you started since January.
Yeah.
Has it been always working on this one piece, or did you have something else you worked on before? And now this is a new one.
So January of last year was when I was. Hired to work on 12,
okay.
which was the
right.
past production. And for that, I wasn't involved in the creation process because I was sort of, I joined late as a swing understudy for the 12 roles.
Yeah.
But after that, then we started working on this new production pretty much right away. I would say late May and 12 showed in early May. And so then for that, then there was that switch over to then focusing on the production that was already being worked on before a little bit, but then we were sort of diving deep.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So then
yeah.
since sort of late May, and then we took a break a bit for the summer, and then started again in September with a wonderful new cast, then we started continuing to work on this
production. Okay, and now you're, so we're near the end of April.
Yeah.
So your next, May is when this next piece
yeah,
will debut.
Yeah, May 1st to 4th.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, that's interesting. That's such a unique prospect, even as an audience member, to
yeah.
know that that's what went into creating it. Like, that's really cool. That's a really unique thing.
1,000 Meals with 1,000 Artists is a project of Soul One Arts, Inc., produced and edited by me, Mike Shepard. Original music by Savannah Shea. Thank you to this week's artists and the local restaurants who host us. For more on 1,000 Meals with 1,000 Artists and Soul One, please visit soulonearts.ca. If you're an artist, feel free to reach out to us on our website and connect for your own meal. Thank you for listening.